You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 7th of January, 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioalbion.com. Well, we've got some news hot off the presses to begin with. The young British lady that was accusing 12 Israelis of raping her a while back, who then withdrew her complaint after allegedly being threatened by the police in Cyprus, has now been sentenced to 4 months suspended sentence out there in Cyprus. Now, we wouldn't usually be covering this story, but the reason why I'm bringing it up is because it's actually highlighted the dual loyalties of Tommy Robinson. He has had an article on his website, which is obviously supportive of these Israelis rather than being supportive of the British girl. Apparently they've shown a picture that's either of this British girl or it's of another woman that they're trying to depict as asking for it, as if the woman deserved to be raped. The poor girl herself, I mean, she may have made a poor choice in going to Ayia Napa. She may have definitely made a poor choice in deciding to have a Jewish boyfriend. But she certainly didn't deserve to be covered in all the bruises that she is. And the police over there in Cyprus, they didn't even photograph the middle of her body. They just photographed the arms and the legs, and she had something like over 20 different bruises there, lots of discrepancies. Actually, in the police interview itself, she didn't have a lawyer there, it wasn't recorded. And it turns out that these 12 Israeli youths are well connected. One of them is the son of a mayor over there in Israel. Cyprus has just signed off a big deal with Israel that's going to make a lot of money for them. And it certainly seems that the girl was telling the truth, but because these Jews are well connected, they've managed to put pressure on Cyprus, to put pressure on the girl to get her to withdraw her statement. The lads themselves have been sharing images of this girl, and apparently there's a lot of support for the girl actually in Israel itself. There have been lots of protests outside the courtroom, and quite a few Israeli Jews supporting this girl, who are disgusted at the behaviour of these young Israelis, who are pretty much saying that this is just normal behaviour in Ayia Napa, is that girls will just sleep with 12 different men, which I hope isn't the case. Certainly doesn't seem to be the case in this instance. But for Tommy Robinson to be supporting these Israeli Jews instead of supporting this British girl really shows you where his loyalties lie. They lie with his handlers. Avi Yemeni, the black Jew from Australia, and Brian of London, who is really Brian of Tel Aviv. And more people are just going to come over to our side of the movement when they see this, I think. People have been attacking Dion Mula, secret sources, for pointing this out and making out that she's got some kind of a vendetta against Tommy. She's just interested in the truth and wants people to know the truth and make their own minds up. I mean, this is disgusting behaviour on his part, to be taking the side of the rapists simply because they're Jewish. And unfortunately, rape is in the news at the moment, because over here in Britain, we have unfortunately had the most prolific rapist, I think actually in the world. They're saying he's the most prolific rapist in British legal history, but I've also read news reports today that it's actually the world's worst rapist. And unfortunately, the victims were men. I mean, rape is just terrible anyway, but for a man to be raped, I would suggest is worse than a woman to be raped, because it's an unnatural use of that's being made. I, at least if it, with rape with a woman, you could say, well, that it's the actual sex itself is just normal between a man and a woman. But if you've got a straight man and he's been raped, that's an unnatural use of his body. It's been forced upon him. And this must be absolutely horrific for these victims. And even worse, the victims didn't even know that this had happened to them. And this guy is an absolute monster. He's Indonesian, comes from a rich family, and actually had the cheek while in court to accuse the judge of being discriminatory against gays. He tried to say that this was just normal sort of behaviour amongst homosexuals, is to drug one another and pretend to be asleep whilst being raped, basically. I've got a report on it here from Breitbart. A migrant man described as the most prolific rapist in British legal history, who preyed on young heterosexual men, has been given a life sentence of 30 years after being convicted of 159 sexual offences, including 136 rapes. This man should have been hanged. This man should have been hanged. The evidence is there for what he has done. He has ruined the lives of these young men that he did this to. And basically, he played the role of the Good Samaritan. He would hang around in Manchester outside the clubs there in the early hours of the morning. And if he saw anybody that was worse for wear, he would offer them a place to stay. He'd say, come back to mine, I'll give you a drink and you can sleep on my sofa. And once he got these people back, he would drug them and then rape them and film them. And the next day they wouldn't know what had happened. And this would still be going on if it wasn't for a rugby player that he tried doing it to, who obviously had a bit of a stronger constitution than his usual victims. And the rugby player woke up while this was being done to him, and he gave the rapist a beating, and he was actually arrested. The rugby player was arrested for supposedly attacking his rapist, and he was actually caught because this rapist put his smartphone in the rugby player's pocket because he didn't want that to be found on him. Bit of a silly thing for him to do, but very, very thankful for the rest of us that he did. And one of the real sickening things about this is that he was pretty much boasting about what he was doing to other homosexuals. There are messages that he had sent out where he was saying how he was luring straight men into his home, and the straight men were leaving as gay men, basically. And he was making jokes about how his apartment was stuffed full of heterosexual bodies, straight men's bodies. So I think it was pretty obvious what he was actually doing. And these other homosexuals that he was talking to were just laughing about it. I mean, this is absolutely horrific what this guy's done. He's an absolute psychopath. And the thing about this is, if we didn't have such a ridiculous immigration system, if we didn't allow non-whites to come into our countries and stay here and make them into citizens, these young men that were raped wouldn't have been raped. That's the fact of the matter. If this non-white had not been in our country, those people would not have been raped. And you can say, well, not all non-whites are rapists, but we would have no non-white rapists here if we didn't allow them into our own country. I mean, we have our own problems with white rapists. And are those problems not enough for us to deal with? We have to open the borders and open the gates and allow in rapists from all around the world to have to deal with as well. And this is the argument that the left will always say. They will say, oh, yes, well, we've also got white rapists. We've also got white murderers. Well, yes, we don't need more. We've got enough of a problem with the troublesome elements within our own society without bringing in all the troublesome elements from elsewhere. And the migrants that come into our country, none of them are the best people from their own country. I've even been told this by those people themselves. I've been abroad, I've been to non-white countries. This was before I was a nationalist. Got on very well with the people there. It's actually in the Middle East. And I said, what is your community like in my country? You know, I was sort of thinking, well, should I go and say hello to them? And do they do this sort of similar things in Britain that they were doing out there? And I was advised, don't go anywhere near them. Don't have anything to do with them. They are the very worst people. They are robbers, I think was the word that was used. They are all the people that are wanted by the police in the country that they've come from. And that's why they've come to Britain. That's why they've come to Europe. They've come here to get away from responsibility for what they've done in their own countries. And these are non-white people telling me this, to have nothing to do with the non-whites in my country because they're bad people. And it makes sense. If they were good people, they would be staying in their own country. And even the ones that are educated, the academic types, if they were good people, they would be staying in their own country and helping to improve their country rather than coming to Britain. And this rapist, this Reynard Sinigar is his name, he was here in Britain because he couldn't be a homosexual, an open homosexual in Indonesia, where he's from, because homosexuality carries the death penalty over there in Indonesia. So that's why he was here in Britain, raping young British straight men. Reynard Sinigar, a 36-year-old Indonesian migrant, has been found guilty of drugging and sexually assaulting 48 young men who he would lure from Manchester nightclubs to his apartment, where he would film himself raping his unconscious victims. Ian Rushton of the Crown Prosecution Service, following the sentencing and the lifting of reporting restrictions, described Sinigar as the most prolific rapist in British legal history, adding that he believed the rapist took a particular pleasure in preying on heterosexual men. His extreme sense of sexual entitlement almost defies belief, and he would no doubt still be adding to his staggering tally had he not been caught, Rushton added. The most prolific rapist in British legal history, and he's a non-white. He's a non-white. Police say that the 36-year-old migrant may have assaulted as many as 190 men. However, many of the victims remain unidentified. And because Sinigar used date rape drugs during his crimes, some victims might not even remember being assaulted. In the trial, victims came forward to describe how the sexual assaults had damaged their mental health, leading to suicidal thoughts, with one victim saying that Sinigar had destroyed a part of my life. I have periods where I can't get up and face the day, another victim said. You know, I can imagine that these victims will be feeling suicidal after hearing what was done to them. And up until this point, they had thought that this Indonesian was a good neighbor, was a good Samaritan to them. He helped them out. They accepted his offer of help, and this is what he did to them. I mean, I would advise people to not have anything to do with non-whites. If these victims here that became victims, if they'd had nothing to do with him and said, sorry, I don't want to stay at your house, they would have been okay. And obviously they were caught at a vulnerable time. He was deliberately going out looking for vulnerable people that had had too much to drink, that had missed the train back, or who had lost their friends, and he would offer to help them out. I mean, another thing we can learn from this is not to put ourselves in vulnerable situations, not to get so drunk that we miss the train home or that we lose the friends that we are out with. And I think the reason why this, one of the reasons why this rugby player actually woke up is because he had only had a couple of drinks. He wasn't drunk, whereas the rest of them were. The Indonesian migrant was caught in June of 2017 when a victim regained consciousness while being assaulted, calling police after fighting off Sinagar. After confiscating Sinagar's phone, police discovered hundreds of hours of footage from his sexual assaults, precipitating the largest rape investigation against a single individual in British history. Interesting. So the largest individual rape investigation against a single individual, and the single individual is non-white. Possibly the largest rape investigation into a group was also a non-white group. I don't think I've heard of a rape investigation going after a group for more than 1,400 rapes, which is what we had in Rotherham. So in both these instances, the largest amount of rapes were caused by non-whites. Wouldn't have happened if we didn't have them here in our country. Reinhard Sinagar was found guilty on all charges in a unanimous verdict following an 18-month trial at Manchester Crown Court. Judge Suzanne Goddard, QC, who presided over the case, said that it was accurate for Sinagar's victims to describe him as a monster in light of the scale and enormity of his crimes. Are you sure it's not racist to be calling him a monster there? While the decision whether or not Sinagar will be released after his 30-year life sentence will be determined by the parole board, Judge Goddard said, in my judgment, you are a highly dangerous, cunning and deceitful individual who will never be safe to be released. I hope he never comes out of prison and he rots in hell, said one of his victims. So what are they doing to protect us here from these non-white rapists? Well, not a lot, apparently. Foreign killers, rapists, and pedophiles are entering Britain without any checks. Over the past 3 years, more than 2,000 serious offenders have been arrested after arriving here unhindered, a rate of 2 a day. Again, if we had a sensible policy here and did not allow non-whites to immigrate here, none of those offenders would have been arrested for carrying out offences. Because don't forget, these aren't people that have been arrested at the airport. These are people that have come to the country and then carried out a serious offence, such as murder, rape, or pedophilia. Obtained under Freedom of Information laws, the official figures cover only those who have got into trouble with the UK authorities. What about all the ones that we don't know about? What about all the victims that were too scared to come forwards? What about the bodies that have never actually been found? What about the non-whites who have carried out their crimes and then gone back to their country of origin? Quite a few times this has happened with the Pakistani rape gangs. They've been accused of their crimes, and they've just absconded back to Pakistan, got away with it, effectively. The Freedom of Information Act reveals that 827 foreign killers, 714 rapists, and 482 child abusers were caught from 2016 to 2018. Neither burglars nor robbers were included. But of course, remember the high propensity of crime that these non-whites are inclined to carry out, and a lot of it is mugging or house burglaries. is a huge amount of crime is carried out by these non-whites, and none of it would be happening if they weren't here. David Lammy comes out with his report and says, look, this incredible ratio here of blacks and non-whites that are in prison, we must do something about this. Yeah, we must. We should ban them from coming into the country. Not blame white people for it. It's not the white man's fault that he becomes the victim of a crime carried out by a non-white. This idea that the police are racist or that the judges are racist is ridiculous. They're not planting evidence on innocent black rapists, innocent black burglars, or non-white murderers. They're acting on witness statements. And they're not even allowed to tell us what the alleged criminal looks like. They're not even allowed to give us a description of the person so that we can watch out and avoid anybody who looks like the person that's been reported to the police. Everything is all about protecting the foreigners, protecting the non-whites on our shores, rather than protecting us. The suspect's foreign convictions emerged after the officers who arrested them requested police records from their home countries. Some had arrived under EU freedom of movement rules. Because of course, once they've managed to get their way into Europe, they can travel anywhere they like in Europe. These are just the ones that actually had a previous police record in their own country, which is probably a large portion of them, as I was mentioning earlier about what I was told about the quality of the people that move to Britain. And don't forget, when we say we want an ethno-state, it doesn't mean that nobody else can come into Britain. You can still have guests. It's just that they wouldn't be allowed to move here. They wouldn't be allowed to own businesses, own properties. They wouldn't have a say in the laws that were made. But they could still come here if they wanted to come here and be a guest. We're not talking about any draconian measures here or anything that other countries don't do. It's only white countries that just open up the borders and allow people to come in and take over and ignore the massive amount of crime that they bring with them. We've got some responses here to this from some MPs. Tim Lofton, a Tory MP who sat on the Commons Home Affairs Committee, said these figures are shocking. Clearly the bar is way too high. Too many serious criminals who pose a threat to law-abiding citizens in the UK are getting in under the wire. It is essential under the migration rules post-Brexit that anyone coming here with a criminal record is challenged at the border so we can make the decision right there whether to turn them away. Of course, the problem with that is many of the people that are coming here have thrown away their documents. We don't have any idea who they are. They throw their passport away and say, oh, I'm only 15 years old. You have to take me in because I'm a juvenile. You have to take me in because you promised to take in any refugee children. Even if they look too old to get away with being a child, they will still throw away their documents because they'll say, well, we come from Iran. We come from Iran, or we come from Syria, or we come from whatever country is most likely to be allowed in. How are you going to know what crimes they have committed then? And it's all very well saying that we need to check the records of the people that come in legitimately, but most of the people that come in, they're breaking in. They're coming in illegitimately. Keeping those who live in Britain safe has to be the priority. David Spencer of the Centre for Crime Prevention think tank added, under the current arrangement, there is nothing to stop dangerous criminals and pedophiles from entering this country unchallenged, and it is clear that many of them have continued to offend on these shores. For most British people, that situation is completely unacceptable, And the sooner the British government is allowed to take control of our borders and stop these people from coming in, the better for everyone. Are they going to do that, though? This is the question. Are they going to stop people from coming in? Because Boris Johnson is talking about his points-based system. But what about those that are coming in claiming to be refugees? What about those that are breaking into the country? How many of them are ever sent back? We go out and rescue them. We go out and rescue them from the channel. That's why they send them over here in these little dinghies that float across the channel and get picked up by our harbour defence people. And they just bring them back, ferry them back in to Britain, put them in a holding centre for a year while they get paid. And then they turn them out onto the streets, or they put them with an innocent British family if they claim to be under the age of 16. The British people don't want to be replaced. The British people want a stop to immigration. Every time they do a survey, 60 or 70% of the country say they want a stop to immigration. And we have nobody that's advocating for us in politics that is saying they're going to do that. Home Secretary Priti Patel said Brexit gives us a once-in-a-generation opportunity to bring in the robust border security that the British people demand. When free movement ends, we will impose tougher criminality checks, stop accepting easily forged European ID cards, and introduce an electronic travel authorization system to pre-screen travellers. All sounds very good, doesn't it? How are you going to pre-screen people coming from Libya? How are you going to pre-screen people coming in the back of trucks, in the back of refrigerated trailers? You can't pre-screen them. The way to deal with this problem is to say, no, we're not having anybody that tries to come in illegally. You try to come in illegally and we are just going to send you back. These countries that we have deals with, that we send foreign aid to, we should just be sending them back there. If we've got a country in Africa that we have a deal with foreign aid, if we catch anybody here who shouldn't be here, who's broken in, we should just send them back to that country in Africa. If they say, well, I'm not African, I'm Syrian, well, tough. You can make your way back from there. We're not having you. You are not our responsibility. Our responsibility is to our people, to protect our people. And 827 foreign killers, 714 rapists, and 482 child abusers came in between 2016 and 2018. And that's just the ones that we know about, the ones that were caught for carrying out their crimes here. If we want to protect our people and ensure that we don't have an even more prolific rapist than this Indonesian one, then we need to close the borders and we need to start sending the ones here back. Even if we just start with the criminals, just the ones that are caught for crimes, send them back. Just start with the serious crimes. Send them back to their country of origin. That's the solution. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.